Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening on the podcast feed, welcome. And we are broadcasting live from the Maria Apicella Studios here in beautiful New Britain, Connecticut. We are just getting the YouTube feed up and running, and then posting that. You're listening to Dockside at the Bay, episode 8, and just getting everything squared away. No, it's not made for children. We're going to go ahead and copy the link, send it over to Twix, and post it. And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Dockside at the Bay. I am Vinny. This is Christy. And welcome. I'm sorry. No, you, wrong show. Holy cow. Yes, I'm going into my old age era right now.
All good.
But no,
All
this is Kim. Wrong
good.
co-host. I do apologize. But yes, this is Kim. Welcome to Dockside of the Bay. Kim, how was your week today, this week?
Week's been going pretty good so far. It's only Tuesday. A lot of stuff can still happen, but no, things have been going pretty well. Just trying to stay caught up with my shows, with my soaps, all of that, and got a chance to check out this episode of The Bay this week, and or Bay the Beginning. And there's a lot to talk about this episode.
There
There's a
really
lot
is. Actually, going into the last three episodes of The Bay, The Beginning, which you can find as always on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. I actually finished, I was so into it today that I actually finished 8, 9, and 10. And because I wanted to find out what was going on and I wanted to see how it connects going forward.
Testament to the show and its addictive component right there.
Exactly. So either way, we want to welcome you to Dockside of the Bay, Dockside at the Bay. And also, as always, I do want to mention that we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go over to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That has the affiliate link embedded in it, and that'll give us a commission on anything you order, especially this awesome NWO hat. Also, just want to give a huge shout out and a huge congratulations to Paul Heyman, the wise man, the advocate, the former president and owner of ECW, as Jim Cornette calls him, the Jovial Jew. And he is been announced as the very first inductee into the 2024 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. So his shirt is out now. Again, wrestling, sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. Pick that up before WrestleMania. And if you're going to SmackDown that night to watch the Hall of Fame, I will be there as well. I'm very excited. That's going to be a very jam-packed week for me going forward in a month's time. Actually, a month from now, I will be in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. All right. So as we go forward, the Bay the Beginning episode number 8.
Sure.
What were your first initial thoughts rewatching it?
Oh, goodness. I mean, there was just some very incredibly well-acted scenes. Also, just we lapsed into we got a flashback, which it kind of took me by surprise for a second because it kind of cuts to into it right away, and it's really telling, and I had forgotten that little detail. So just seeing it again and just kind of getting, refamiliarized with that history and them touching on it again for, a certain set of characters was, just it sparked. I was like, oh, now it's starting to come back to me a little bit.
Yes.
So what I had seen a while back and kind of forgot about. So it was definitely, I mean, it was just the episode flowed really well. As always, it feels like, all of a sudden it's like you blink and it's over. It went very quickly. It was very fast paced, but they crammed in a lot of details and they left us on a cliffhanger. And yeah, I thought it was a great, and it was only, I think, 20 minutes
22 minutes, yeah.
total.
Well, yeah,
So
20 minutes if you take out the recap.
yeah, no, they got a lot jammed in there for episode 8. So what
Yeah.
were some of your thoughts?
I like I said, it I actually ended up watching the rest of the Bay the Beginning, the full series, the episodes 8, 9, and 10, simply because I just got into it and I wanted to find out a couple of things as to how it ties together to the actual series. Because going into the series, we know that there's we know that Sarah and Steve are married, and they're obviously dysfunctional,
There's
because of the situation
lots of
that you have.
dysfunction going on, as kind of spelled out by their little sequence here. Just
Yes.
kind of, or if that's anything relating to their origin story, then yeah, they are a very screwed up couple.
Yes, I agree. And then with the story about how Lex is close to Sarah, and how involved, and just how much Lex cares about Sarah, and just that whole situation there.
Yes. No, he is very, he is in protect Sarah mode from the jump. He is just, she's very curious as to what's, I mean, the episode opens with her just wanting to know what's going on, her trying to
Exactly.
get her bearings. Because where we left her last, she was having trouble finding Peter. He was asking her where Peter was, where Lee was. She couldn't really give a definitive answer. She'd just been interrogated by all the reporters. And then she's trying to get information. Who was on the phone? Who are you talking with? And he just, go rest upstairs.
Yes.
Talk to anyone until you've talked to me first. He is just very, he is like straight up shielding her from everything that's going on, or at least trying to. And you
Right.
can tell how painful it is for him to have to obviously keep the secret that Lee was one of the casualties. He
Yeah.
isn't prepared to tell her that just yet, but he doesn't want her to find out from anybody else. It really just set the tone
It did.
for the relationship.
It really did. And honestly, when I was watching, I was actually questioning it as to what Lex's motivations were. Obviously, we know that he cares and he wants to protect her from the
Yeah.
truth if it's not the truth, because it's still only alleged, because the
Right.
body was burned beyond recognition.
Yeah.
So they're only going based upon what Liana said, that she saw Lee going in there right before the explosion.
Right.
So, I could understand that, but I really feel like, I mean, if I was in the same situation, it would have been to the point of, well, just to let the cops did find a second body. It was burned beyond recognition.
Right.
I just, I the, there is possible information saying it could have been Lee, but we don't know yet.
Yeah,
You know
and
what I mean? There's two.
he's not prepared in that moment, I think, to tell her until he at least has some sort of definitive beyond just, that situation, because he just knows it's going to break her heart. He
Exactly.
knows that, and he's just not in that moment prepared to do that, and it's so telling. You can just see it like on his face. He's just not ready to have that conversation, but he doesn't want anyone else to get to her with that information. And just, her being all just, I'm not a child, you can tell me. And he's like, I need to investigate first.
Yes.
Which, he's just like, let me just make sure we're 100%, because otherwise I'm gonna be destroying you for nothing.
Exactly.
So it was just a very sweet, very protective little moment there from Lex. But Sarah obviously has other, I mean, she just wants to get the facts straight. She wants to figure some stuff out. Poor girl. I mean, she's just been all day, or at the least for as long as we've seen her, she's just been getting kind of tossed around, not really sure where her family is, this crazy wedding thing, all of this. She's just been bounced around and she just wants some answers.
Yes,
Blame her,
and you
so.
can understand exactly why, but either way, it's just, but that's about all the time that we set that we actually see, Sarah and Lex.
Yeah, no, their interaction is brief and it's just at the top. But then we get to introduce to Mort, to
Yes,
Mortimer,
Mortimer.
who's a lovely gentleman, very sweet. You can tell that Sarah depends on him and that the family depends on him. And we got, alluded to his existence last episode. He was the mysterious Mort who Brian was trying to get out, trying to call and be like, get me out of here. We don't pay you to, or we pay you for answers, we pay you to assist us. Like, but he's just a sweet, kindly, cares for
He's their
the
butler.
house. Yeah, just a lovely, lovely gentleman
Yes.
who says some lovely things to Sarah. I loved that little exchange. I mean, this is like first introduction to the character, but you can see how he protects her. He's concerned. He cares about her, cares about Peter, calls her a good mother, says that
Yes.
Peter needs to find his way. He just seems like a very reliable, nice butler guy.
And then, it's just a brief second, but then she goes into, it looks like, the foyer, and she sees somebody looking through the window. So it's
Right as the power has gone out too, which just adds to the whole, she doesn't like, of course, she's trying to get out of the dark, trying to figure things out. And as soon as she has a clue, as soon as she has a taste of what's going on outside by that newscast, lights go off, power goes out, and now she's just literally in the dark as well as, in the dark about everything else. So, but while she's trying to get into the, yes, she looks outside and you see Steve peering through that pane of glass, just ominously, which is a lot.
Exactly.
It would scare anybody.
And just
And of
the
course,
way the timing was, it was like, obviously there was the storm out there, so there was the storm that could have theoretically knocked out power. Maybe Steve cut the power and because he wanted to, as we see in the next.
It gives off just definitely sort of like a spooky sort of, you almost get like a little like gothic horror sort of vibe going with like, got like, lady of the house and the butler and some man outside that potentially has cut the power, is gonna break, there's just a lot of elements like that going on. But no, she sees him, Mortimer does not. He manages to get, Steve gets away. And then but Steve does manage to get inside of the house, and Steve does manage to have a pretty critical scene with Brian, who's
Ryan.
also in the dark.
And that scene with Brian and Steve, it
Oof.
almost seems like a little bit of foreshadowing, just the way the dialogue is, and
Oh yeah.
picking up on Brian on Steve calling Brian son,
Oh yeah.
because then it just pops back to the flashback between Steve and Sarah. I almost said Steve and Kayla, which theoretically, two different universes.
Two different universes, yes.
But yeah, it flashes back to Steve and Sarah on, Sarah's wedding night because she's in a wedding dress and she.
Yep, 1985, and it's she is that yeah, that flashback, it's kind of jarring because all of a sudden you're just, cut to this different period in time that we haven't seen before. We see two faces we don't, and then but obviously it clicks in pretty quick fast who they are, that it's Steve, it's Sarah. But what just that whole scene in general is just very intense, and it just shows like their relationship is intense, it's kind of toxic, screwed up, and it's all very quick, it all happens very quickly, but it's just it sets the tone for how dysfunctional and messed up and how you don't want these people to get, like there is stuff that is brewing here that is not good.
And and it's so it made me hazard a guess, is Steve really Sarah's Brian's father?
Well,
That's
Steve's protective sort of, because we've seen Steve kind of in twirling mustache, bad guy, villain, sort of. I am like pulling the strings. I'm the one behind the scenes. I'm the one orchestrating all of like this chaos, but I am also doing this. He kind of shows his hand when he gives Brian the passports, basically saying, like, listen, I have a way to get you out of here. I don't think he'd be doing that for just anybody. So, there is like that just kind of connection, and I'm some of the lines, like some of the dialogue there, it was a really like loaded scene, but you have it where like him saying like, I'm your guardian angel, you're safe, son, this should all come in handy for you. And Brian keeps on asking like, who are you? What do you want? Why are you doing this? Just very confused. And he just says nothing. I just want to help you get away with murder. Which, the way everything about like Matt Ashford in that scene was so good. Just, like you can tell that like he cares about Brian deeply, but he knows too. He's savvy enough to know that like, okay, deep, I'm gonna be on my merry way. Neither of us are safe here, but see you again someday. Like there's an ominous tone, there's a protective tone, there's a lot going on in that exchange. And then you got Brian who's just confused. He's just like, who is this guy that just randomly like helped me out and really like saved my butt? Because otherwise I'd be in trouble right now.
Exactly. Because Brian still, I mean, obviously he's heard about the explosion, but he thinks he doesn't know what happened because last he knew, it was just Isabella tied up in there. It
Yep.
wasn't anything to the point of, well, I didn't set up a bomb. I wasn't, it wasn't meant to happen. I was just supposed to tie her up until after the wedding or whatever the plans were that Brian had in mind.
Which were a lot less sinister than, the grenade and the bondage and everything that was involved with Aziz. It Little Z, is that what Sanders calls her?
I believe so. Some, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, talk about that. I mean, we'll get into that scene, but oh my goodness, that's. But yeah, no, I mean, you have Brian just coming from this place. He's also in the dark, literally, and just in, these Garrett, they really gotta, get their act together and figure out what's going on, because
Right.
they're both very out of the loop.
Yes. No, exactly. It's something when kind of goes to tell you, in society, when you have a lot of money, you don't pay attention to the little things.
Right. I
You
mean,
know?
Sarah didn't even necessarily know, for that reporter to be like, well, this happened on your property.
Yeah.
This, she just, kind of caught unawares, for something, it's a piece of land that she owns where
Yep.
this whole thing happened, and she is relatively clueless up until, and trying to get answers to her credit. But yeah, she was coming from a place of no knowledge with that. And you have, Brian just like trying to scramble, trying to get out of there, relying though on somebody else to help him. He needs other people to like get him out of this mess.
And
Gotten
meanwhile,
more, ends up leaning on Steve, like.
maybe somewhat reluctantly leaning on Steve, but sees an easy way out.
Hey, you get handed three different passports with valid, aliases
Yeah.
and like, and you are, it's,
It's
lost your wallet, but at
win
least you
for
have
him.
this now.
But meanwhile, while Brian is trying to leave town, P, who checked into a hotel under Brian's name and with Brian's credit card, is in a sticky situation himself.
Yeah, his situation is a little precarious too. You kind of think, oh, he's just, because in the last episode we left him, he was just kind of content to go along for the ride, but this
Yeah.
ride started to take a lot of twists and turns that he wasn't prepared for with, I can't remember what her
Yeah.
alias was, but now we know who she actually is and what her, mystery British woman. Well, now
Yeah.
we know what her motivation was.
Yeah, exactly. And it was Jem, which was her alias.
That was it. That was it. Thank you.
So, when we see P, he's tied up by Jem. She wants to, she's obviously flirting with him. She's in lingerie. He's got only underwear on, and
Yeah,
and so,
pretty cool situation, just kind of rolling with it, but
yeah.
content.
I
And
mean,
then
at
all of
this
a
point, he's
sudden,
probably just excited, just like a juvenile would be in that situation.
hey, hey, this may have worked out in my favor. Sure, she thinks that I'm, someone else, but he's just content to go along for the ride until the ride gets very dangerous when all of a sudden, I love the way that they kind of built out that scene too. Just, like, are you into playing games, truth or dare? Just the dialogue there, the setup. And then all of a sudden, just, what you want to play games, fine. How many bullets is it going to take to kill you?
Yes, that was insane, just the way they set that up, and just to have, just to have her there, because obviously he's tied up, so I mean you know that she wants him vulnerable, and
Yes.
then as she goes to ask the truth, and then she pulls a gun on him, and she's got him at gunpoint, and that's when he's like, oh shit, I have
Yep.
to,
Such a well-acted moment too. You can just see him go from like everything's kind of cool. What do you have planned for me? Kind of casual, kind of, trying to, show that he's like, and then all of a sudden he just becomes like obviously legitimately terrified because this woman
And
is.
that's what makes him slip up, because
Yes.
he says, what do you want my brother for? What do you have against my brother?
Which ends up being what saves him from what could have been a very, a worse, way worse night.
Yeah, because as soon as we find out it is Emma, so we've as soon as we see as soon as Emma finds out the truth that it's not Brian, she's like, oh crap, you're Pete. And she's
Yeah,
like,
she's
then she's
just
all prim and proper. She's like, I'm gonna
Yeah,
leave.
her whole mask slips and she is just instantly in protective mama. Where is my daughter? What have you done? What, but then when she realizes, like, why would you impersonate him? How could I be so stupid? How could you be so stupid? I love
Right.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, very intense little moment there.
And
But I
the
loved her line too. Don't tell your mother about this.
Yes, exactly. And the
Yeah.
best part about it is she leaves without untying him. So, he's in there, he's in his boxers, and he's got to
Screaming his head
get ready
off
to get
for
help.
help because, and he's just, but, he's asking, like, what are you talking about? What do you want with my brother? It's like he's more concerned about that. He's like, untie me. You know, the untie me comes last, which I thought was just kind of funny.
And then, so he's yelling out, and it's the guy for the receptionist because remember, the hotel room was right by the desk.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was able to hear him, yelling for help, and the guy comes in and unties him. He's like, knew I shouldn't have rented
No,
the
he should
suite.
have never checked you in. Yep. You know, he knows that he's just a kid who like sees it, realizes you are a kid, you are in over your head, and the only reason why you're not way more messed up right now is because like, you know, you have some people that were there to help you. So
Exactly.
Peter's little adventure has come to an end.
Exactly. So after that, it's the next, I mean, just a quick little scene, which in my opinion, kind of, I don't know whether, I don't want to say it was inappropriate, but it kind of shows where Marley's head was. Because we see a quick scene where Marley goes to Manny's house and
Yes.
says, Tony found out about us and he took RJ and he left. And you kind of see that she's upset about it, because obviously her marriage is falling apart, whatever. And Manny opens the door and is like, well, what did you do to your hair? The fact that she dyed it blonde.
Yeah. That's the first thing he says, which is just kind of, you know, she comes to his apartment kind of looking distraught, frazzled all over. Your hair is different.
And then when, she goes in, then they're just automatically making out and
Yeah, no, she, well, he, to his credit, tries to hug her, tries to come, and she is not about that. She is just like, nope, my marriage is over, my son is gone. We're, you know, I'm just gonna start making out with you, and we're just gonna forget that this is going on right now. Like, it seems as if that's kind of a coping mechanism, you know, just
yeah.
trying to
Well,
distract
it's
herself from the fact that, like,
exactly.
her husband just took off with their child.
Yeah. So it's just, she's like, okay, well, he's gone now. All I have to do is worry about me and what I want.
Yeah, at this
And
point, yeah. And try and figure out, you know, what comes next after she kind of does something to make herself feel a little bit better about the situation that she's in, because she's clearly just a little vulnerable and needing just a little bit of comfort and attention. So,
exactly. And for those of you that are watching, go ahead and hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. Thank you for tuning in tonight to Dockside at the Bay. This is the one and only podcast about the Bay, to the point that we've been recognized and thanked by the show's creator, Gregory Martin. So this is the only podcast that you're going to find out there about the Bay. The Bay, the beginning that we're talking about right now for right now until the next couple episodes is found on Tubi TV and Amazon Prime. And then the Bay itself, you could stream seasons 1 through 6 on Peacock. Season 7, which is the current season, that's on Popstar. So definitely go check it out. I just signed up for Popstar, so I'm going to try to start watching some of the newer episodes and see where we go from there. But again, it is, we also did say that, coming up after episode 10, when the Bay, the beginning is over, on episode 11, I think what we're going to do is for Valentine's Day, the Bay put out a Valentine's Day special, kind of going over all the weddings that have happened in the Bay history. What we're going to do, and this is something that Kim's finding out for the first time, but for that 11th episode, we're going to do a show about that Valentine's special that's on Popstar on demand right now.
I always, you know, gotta love weddings. Gotta love, you know, just that romantic, you know. And Bay weddings are interesting too, because there's always gonna be a little bit of drama mixed in with just the.
Well, when you're lifting up the veil and you're expecting your fiance and you see a mustached crazy guy, there's definitely something in the water over there. So,
Yeah. And even the sweet ones, you know, that, okay, yeah, you guys are all lovely and giving each other lovely looks now, but we know where you guys wind up, so.
yes.
Oh yeah. No,
So,
that'll be great. That'll be very exciting to be able to cover that. And yeah, it was a nice little feature, you know, for Valentine's.
also, as mentioned last night on Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle's main mothership show, this year we're doing the very first ever inaugural Soap Suds March Madness tournament. And what it's going to be is next week, next Monday night, on March 11th at 10 p.m. Tune into Suds News as we're going to have the selection special. We'll still talk about General Hospital like we always do, but I'm also going to be doing the seeding for the bracketology, if you will,
Okay.
of the March Madness. It's going to be separated into four quadrants: the Port Charles bracket, the Salem bracket, the Genoa City bracket, and the Bay City Los Angeles bracket. Hey Nathan, welcome to the chat. Each of those brackets will have 16 characters. Well, each of the three for Salem, Port Charles, and Genoa City will have 16 characters from their specific shows in the brackets. For the Bay City, Los Angeles, Bold and the Beautiful, and the Bay will each have eight characters going into the tournament. What's going to happen is starting the next day on March 12th, we're going to be running three-day polls for the first round, and then after that we'll do the second round for 3 days and so on and so forth. Each of them will be a poll on Twix, so make sure to find it. They will have the hashtag Soap Suds March Madness. They're going to have the hashtag of the soaps. They're going to be, we'll probably end up tagging the actual characters if we can, or whatever the case may be. We haven't figured that. I haven't figured that out yet. But either way.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a fun little, fun little bracketology, fun little adventure.
Exactly. And I will go ahead and release the brackets beforehand. So while we do the bracket show on the 12th and actually get the brackets done, the actual polls themselves will start on next Tuesday, March 12th. Stay tuned to Twix, the show's actual Twix account is at Suds SQ Circle Pod. And before we get, there's one other storyline that we do have to talk about.
Yeah, just a little bookmark at the end, but also just a very well acted scene that I just felt we had to give kudos to.
Which with actually before we even get to that, I do also want to make mention that I want to ask if you survived the Facebook outage from earlier today.
I did. My Facebook account is a little bit, mostly it's just to remind me about people's birthdays, to be
Okay.
perfect. So, got through the Facebook outage. I cleared that just fine, but I did notice it, caused quite a
Yeah,
ripple of.
the Meta outage. I go to Facebook to log in to check, or I go to Facebook. It's always logged in on my phone, and it says your account, your session's been terminated. Log in again. You try to log in, nothing happened. So you have to basically, I thought my account was either hacked or locked. And same thing with Instagram and Threads. All of the Metaverse were locked.
Instagram, I know, was causing a lot of people a lot of pain there
So
for a little bit,
yeah,
so.
so I I'm like, oh crap. All right, so I gave it time, but then I looked it up, and sure enough, all three of them had been hit with a massive outage. Like 350,000 people at 10 a.m. went to one of the sites that reports down sites, and holy Moses. So yeah.
I saw a lot of people saying, "Hey, look at everyone's on Twitter. Everyone's on Twix.
Yeah.
I don't know if they call it Twitter." But yeah, everyone was saying everyone's jumping over to those platforms because they couldn't be on,
Yeah,
couldn't be on
exactly.
Instagram and
Just
everything.
goes to show you how much we depend on social media nowadays.
Right? It goes down, and we're just, what are we supposed to do with? How can we scroll? What should we do?
Exactly. All right, so all right, before we end the show, we do have one other storyline to talk about. Mac goes into Elliot's house, and we saw at the end of the last episode where Mac knocks on the door. And apparently Mac and Elliot don't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a bit of a there's tension between the two of them, but in this moment you can see that, it's clearly just a man who has a daughter and another man who has a daughter trying to, he's trying to help him, through this horrible shock that he just, hands over that, hands over those photos and just tells him flat out exactly what happened with Isabel or Isabella. And just, oh my goodness, Charles Shaughnessy in that moment, if he hadn't won an Emmy, if he did win an Emmy, he should have won an Emmy
Right.
because that scene was so just, oh my goodness, it just breaks your heart. He was incredible in that scene.
And just the fact that he asked for the fact, he asked for proof
Yeah,
and demanded
just
proof. He demanded, he wanted to make sure that everything was there, and Mac hands him an envelope. And I don't know what was in the envelope. I think it was pictures or
Yeah, because Mac tells him to be careful, which is
yeah.
just the way, even the way he
Or it
says
was the personalized stationery that might have been found there as well.
it. Yeah. Oh, yes, because they do bring up, even Steve brings up the fact that, with the little handwritten note that the henchman wrote, all of that. So that could be twined back in. But oh, goodness, just his, shock, devastation, breaking down in tears, everything about it was a quick scene, but it was so powerful, so well
Powerful.
acted. I mean, with Mac too, he just kind of he doesn't really know what to do or what to say. He just kind of is just kind of backs out of the room. He doesn't really know what to do after he tells him the news, which is just it's all the more just devastating. But such good acting by Charles Shaughnessy in that scene. It was just incredible.
It was. And then, towards the end of the show, the very last thing we see, Mac interviewing Igor.
Yes.
Igor's in
Igor.
custody. Mac is talking to him. And I'm gonna tell you, over the next couple episodes, because like I said, I did finish, I watched, I had to.
Yeah, I get it.
Igor becomes the voice of reason throughout
Oh, for sure.
this entire ordeal.
He looks
Definitely in the next
crazy. He
episode.
looks off the wall, but he is the one he's got everything right. He knows exactly what's going on, and he is just, and he says as much too. He's just very, I love how, he says, I'm not, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I was just trying to, I didn't want anyone to get hurt. I just wanted Brian to get a taste of his own medicine because he played with my emotions. I mean, he's coming from a very real kind of sad place.
Yeah.
He wanted to expose everyone to what Brian was up to, and Brian played on his feelings and his emotions and all of that. And you feel for the guy, even though he's caused all like wreaked all this havoc. He is the one that's being the most honest and forthcoming with all of this and just trying to get the truth out there to people, which, poor guy.
Yeah, you really start to feel for him. But I'm not going to give any spoilers for episode 9. But we'll talk about that next.
Yeah, don't spoil me because I actually I purposely didn't even watch like the next on the bay. I didn't even watch that. So
No, I'm not
just
going to give out any spoilers, but definitely, definitely we'll talk about it next week as well. But I just we finally see the. Steve and Sarah looked like they were lifelong friends, and at some point,
friends, but turning capable of turning on each other viciously because the way that Steve is just very oh my goodness. I mean, he shoves her out down into a field in the middle of nowhere. He's got a gun on him. I can do whatever I want, and she's like, "No, you can't. I'm getting married. Can't believe you do this to me." He calls her Blondie too, which is a nickname that stays, that sticks. So, but she's like going, "I love Lee," and then we find out that she only met Lee 6 months ago, but she loves the guy, and they're getting
And
married.
get married.
So they're, just, love at first sight, clearly for those two. But Steve does not react well to that at all, and the scene just turns very dark and very, just ominous. But, you're all mine now. He's very possessive. It's unnerving. You have Sarah looking clearly just distressed and scared until she finally just manages to
Hit him in
fend
the
him off,
balls.
fight him off. It's just, you go, girl.
Yeah, exactly. And then
Kick
she
that
wakes
guy
up.
where it hurts and get the hell out of there. And she does. But he even shoots the gun after her. He's still firing the gun. It's just like, my goodness, man. Like, get hold of yourself.
Exactly.
Sarah escapes and then cut to Sarah, in present day, waking up from a nightmare. I mean, flashback slash nightmare, it all, it's all the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she's reliving some pretty horrible stuff that she has endured in the past. So
And then, Pete's there, and asks about Brian. And she said, I
Well,
don't know, check the guest house.
instantly he doesn't, I mean, he actually, I mean, he is, are you okay? And she does
Oh,
allude to, she
yeah.
just had a nightmare, but his focus is like, where's Brian? Not in the guest house. And Sarah's just like, well, what can I do? Can I help? No, just, So she's trying, and she's clearly got some stuff that we're gonna, learn more about. But, they set a pretty strong tone between her, just set the tone for her and Steve and their dynamic and how messed up their, situation is. And yeah, we're gonna see more of that shake out. So,
You definitely will.
yep.
And that'll be next week on the Bay, Dockside at the Bay, the beginning, episode 9. That's what we'll go over next week. And then for the 11th episode of our show, after the Bay, the beginning series ends, we will do the Valentine's Day special that the Bay ran this past Valentine's Day. Then we'll get to the Bay series, actually on the one that you can find on Peacock and all that. So,
We have
and
two episodes
we're going to
per.
be doing 2 episodes a week, as opposed to one. This way, we could catch up to the show quicker because they're on season 7, episode 10 right now.
A little bit behind, but we'll get there.
Exactly. So, there are, and it's not, a regular sitcom style series, so it's not going to be 26 episodes per year or per season. I think it's, I believe it's 16 episodes, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So we'll knock out, one season in 8 weeks. So we'll catch up in no time flat.
We
And then
will.
we'll be able to do things, based on the week they talk about. So
Absolutely.
that's about it for tonight.
Yeah.
Kim,
No.
any closing thoughts?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. So, but yeah, now I have to get caught up to where you're at.
So yeah, absolutely. So again, remember we are an official affiliate of WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. And go to shop studsandsquarecircle.com/wrestling merch. That gives you the affiliate code, and we do get a commission off of that. So go ahead and help us out, but also get yourself some awesome WWE gear. And then next Monday night, the 11th of March, will be the Bracketology special of Studs in the Squared Circle. Suds News, because we'll be going over and setting up the brackets for the first ever Suds Soap Suds March Madness tournament, and we'll
Very
be getting that
looking
together.
forward to it.
So stay tuned to everything. Follow us on Twix at Suds SQ Circle Pod. Also go to our Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Both of those are slash Suds and Square Circle. Help us out, we'll be getting some more content up there as well, as we go forward. But thank you all for watching. Go ahead, like, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, again, thank you so much. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify and everywhere else you can find your favorite podcasts. So for Kim, I won't call you a different name again, but for
If
Kim,
it's
I am.
no, hey, if they, you want us to try a nickname thing, we can maybe we can start that up. I don't know. What do
All
you think?
right. So for Kim, I'm Vinny. We'll see you guys next week on Dockside at the Bay.
Take
Have a
care of
great night, everybody. Live stream stopped and